My turn to extend a good morning to all of you, to trust that God has blessed your life. And it's been a busy worship this morning, and time is not our friend at this point. And yet we're going to open the scripture and ask for the Lord's counsel and direction and guidance from Luke chapter 17. So if you have a Bible close by, I hope that you will follow along with this reading from verse 11 through verse 19. A familiar passage where Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. By the way, I hope that duct tape was on the inside of the plane. Was it? Oh, good. Anyway, you're back safely. For that, we're grateful. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Well, good morning again, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being in worship today. It has indeed been a busy worship, yet a great one as we celebrate so many things having to do with the family of faith. It's a privilege. And we humbly pray that as we make our way through the remainder of this worship, Jesus will be praised. Amen. It was many years ago, and the Republicans at their national convention in Chicago had just nominated Abraham Lincoln as their candidate for the presidency of the United States. After he was nominated, some partiers chartered a luxury boat and made their way out to cruise Lake Michigan. And as they were headed back to Chicago on that stormy night, something terrible happened. A schooner, full and loaded with logs from the north, was running without lights and smashed into this luxury steamboat and literally cut it in half. The steamboat began to sink quickly, and its 393 people were in desperate trouble. Of those 393, 279 drowned. But it wasn't that far offshore, and a crowd quickly formed, lining the shore, watching the people try to get to shore on little bits of wreckage left over from the boat. One student from nearby Northwestern University, Edward Spencer, saw what was going on, and rushing into the water, he took off his jacket, jumped into the cold, icy water, and then began to swim to the struggling people. He brought one back, and then another, and then another. The people were yelling to him, "Don't go back and risk your life." But he made 16 trips into the frigid water that night and saved 17 people. But it cost him dearly. Being in that cold water, he collapsed with significant nerve damage to his legs, so that for the rest of his life, he was in a wheelchair. And when he was 80 years old, somebody asked him, "What is the most vivid memory you have of that fateful night?" And his response was simple, "No one ever came back to thank me for saving them." Kind of makes you a little bit angry, doesn't it? Well, maybe that is a little bit of what Jesus was feeling when of the 10 lepers who were healed, only one returned. Now, as we read a passage like we did just a moment ago, we always have to ask the question, what is God's message for us? What does this mean to us? Why has God, through the presence of His Holy Spirit, preserved this text for us? What is the message that He has to convey to us? Now, some of you might read that and hear that and say to yourself, well, the message is simple. God wants us to be thankful people. And indeed, you're right. That is the simple message of this text. But as is often the case, to respond to the simplicity of the text and then go on about our mental business may not be doing justice to this passage. And if you hear the question, what is the message? And you respond with, God wants us to be thankful. And then you move on mentally to preoccupy with something else. You're going to miss something that is very, very important. Underlying the whole story itself, expressing itself maybe between the words of verse 19. For in verse 19, we read these words as the one man returned. And Jesus said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, between the words, it's more than just a simple message about we need to be thankful as believers. There's a message that gratitude, a grateful spirit, is a sure indicator of a healthy faith. Very, very important. As you and I struggle with this grateful spirit development. A grateful spirit is a sure indicator of a healthy faith. Every year at this time, I get my annual physical. I hope you do at some point during the year also. And now they do lab work. And you get the lab results, and you get all this printout sheet with all of the, you know, the numerical specifications of what's going on inside you, and you look it over carefully. I got mine this past week, and you look at such things as the numbers regarding triglycerides, and then you look at cholesterol levels, and you compare the HDL with the LDL. You look at the ratio, and you wonder whether those numbers are favorable, and then for me, you look at PSA levels, and you wonder if those numbers are favorable, and you really look and evaluate what the indicators are as to what is going on inside of your body. Well, gratitude is the indicator, a good indicator of what's going on inside your faith. Is yours a grateful spirit? What does the gratitude indicator suggest? What does it suggest about the relative health of your faith? 10 men were cured. Only one was made well. 10 men were cured. Only one was saved. And in the Greek, it could be translated in an ESV. It does suggest that there's an alternative translation here where it could read, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you. 10 men were cured. Only one was made whole. Only one was made well. Only one saved. Gratitude is a true indicator of the relative health of one's faith. 9 men went backward, only one went forward. 9 men returned to their old way of life, but one was given new life. I ask you again to consider for yourself, what is the relative health of your faith based on the gratitude indicator? Well, in this passage today, we're going to be looking at, 4 observations that gives us something of a picture of a grateful spirit. And I hope by the end of this message today, you will have some way to measure the gratitude levels within you and to consider how God might strengthen you in that regard. This is more than a simple passage saying to us, you need to be thankful. This is a window, an indicator, a suggestion that we can use our levels of gratitude to measure the health of our faith. So what do we read? On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. One of the things we see here is that a grateful spirit thanks Christ regularly for his blessings. A grateful spirit thanks Christ regularly for his blessings. Do you know, these 10 men were doing what the Old Testament had prescribed that they must do if they were to be declared healed. Read Leviticus 14, and you will see that this passage in Leviticus is a clear prescription for the routine or the rituals that they had to follow in order for the priest to declare them healed. It was an 8-day process. It was a long process. They couldn't just go back and have the priest say, "You look good to me." No, there were definite prescriptions, ritually, religiously, that had to go through, and the whole process took 8 days to do. And one can understand how they might be anxious to get back to the priest in order to get this process going. But one of these men who was healed, one of these men turned and went back and thanked Christ for what he had given him. He turned back to thank Christ for what he had given him. So if we're looking at the indicators of a grateful spirit here, maybe we can glean from this one insight, this one observation, the fact that we need to thank Christ regularly for the blessings that he has extended to us. Now, I asked myself as I prepared this message today, how often, how frequently, how regularly I do that. I am a believer. Most of you, if not all of you, are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has healed the leprosy of your soul, which left to itself would certainly cause death. And the question that begs, how regularly do you thank him for that healing? Or are you, like me all too often, one of the nine rather than the one? So the first observation we make is this: that a grateful spirit is measured by, or we can observe it by, virtue of the regularity with which we thank Christ for his blessings. Another observation we can make is this: then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, verse 15, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Then in verse 16, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and the scripture says he was a Samaritan. This man turned to Christ rather than make his way to the priest in order to effect his healing. In turning back to Christ, he was, in effect, acting very selflessly. And therein lies another observation that we can make about a grateful spirit, if it is genuine or has integrity. It is selfless. It's characterized by a selfless soul. This man, as I said, would have had to have gone through an 8-day process of declaration of having been cleansed. One can understand easily and readily why these other nine made their way back so quickly, because they wanted to get back into the mainstream of life. They wanted to go through this 8-day process so they could come back to their homes and to their routines and their daily existence, to their families, to their society, and get reinvested and reinvolved in that from which they had been alienated and ostracized by virtue of this illness. They wanted that process done now. Why? Because they wanted something that was really something that they had clamored for a long time. But one man, one leper, unselfishly, in the face of gratitude, was willing to delay that process of reintegration in order to go back to Christ to express his gratitude. And I see in that a suggestion of something that's very, very important, that a grateful spirit also can be observed or seen in a heart or a mind that is unselfish in the way it lives. A third observation. Verse 16, and he fell on his feet, and at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And therein lies something that we need to pay attention. Luke says very specifically and with intentionality, he was a Samaritan. What does that suggest to us? Well, we all know that Samaritans were hated and alienated by the Jews. And what we can see if we look underneath the surface here is something that's very, very important. That gratitude, a grateful spirit, is not necessarily predicated on favorable circumstances. Now, Luke mentions that he was a Samaritan, and by the way, this passage is only in Luke. It's not in any of the other Gospels for a couple of reasons. One, probably because Luke was particularly sensitive to showing to others that the gospel was not just meant for the Jews. It was meant for Gentiles also. But Luke might specifically mention that this was a Samaritan also to suggest or to indicate that this Samaritan's gratitude was not predicated necessarily on favorable circumstances. Why? Because Samaritans were hated by the Jews. Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. Samaritans were despised by the Jews. So even with this healing, it wasn't necessarily the case that this Samaritan was going back to a favorable environment in which to live. A grateful spirit is grateful even in the face of unfavorable circumstances. Now you say, well, that sounds good and that sounds easy. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, give thanks in all circumstances. And we affirm that and we tip our cap and we salute and we say, indeed, that's the case. But do you realize how difficult that is? When I was younger in the ministry, I would have let a verse like verse 16 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians roll off my lips, and I would have said, it's important to give thanks in all circumstances. And I would have pointed to this story here, and I would have said, see, the Samaritan did not have an easy life, but he was giving thanks anyway. And I would have said, we need to give thanks, but believe me, I've lived long enough now to realize it is incredibly difficult to do that. I know the circumstances of a number of you here today, and they're not easy. And the challenge for you to give thanks in those circumstances is an enormous challenge. But a mature man or woman of faith is growing in the direction of being able to express thanksgiving to God even in the face of those difficulties. I have room for growth, and I suspect you do too. But the more healthy our faith is, the more able we are, even in the midst of adverse circumstances, to thank God for His blessings. Why? Most importantly, because no matter how adverse our life might be, we are never going to be extracted from the protective care of Christ. Never. One last observation. Verses 17 through 19, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. A grateful spirit understands and accepts and applies the optimism attached to the fact that there will be a better life. If you are a grateful spirit, you know that there is always a better life out there in partnership with Christ. The better life for this man was salvation. We don't know what the better life will be. We certainly hope and pray that it will be salvation. And for us, if we come to Christ by faith, we know that it will be. But just the simple grateful spirit prepares us, allows us to live life knowing that in partnership with Christ, we can be optimistic that things are going to be better no matter what. So, the question we have to ask, what does the gratitude indicator suggest about the health of our faith? In a moment, we're going to close with a remarkable hymn, remarkable by virtue of the circumstances surrounding its writing. Written by Martin Rinkart, a minister who was a pastor in the 1600s in Eilenburg, Saxony, in Germany. At the time he was living in Saxony, they were undergoing the 30 Years' War in Europe. Suffering was terrible. The Swedes had surrounded this community of Eilenburg, and many had retreated within the walls of the city because it was a walled city. They thought they could be safe. But they were suffocated, surrounded, starved, and in every way submitted to terrible adversity. And one by one, and then two by two, and then three by three, and then dozens by dozens, people died as a result of the adversity of the hunger and the sickness that was there. And the pastors were having to perform dozens of funerals a day until such time as Rinkhart was the only pastor left in town, and for days and weeks, he did 50 funerals a day. And when the war ended, he was tremendously relieved. And despite all of this adversity, despite all of this difficulty, despite all of the hardship, his grateful spirit survived, and he wrote the words to this hymn. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Oh, the marks of a grateful spirit. Oh, the measure of a healthy faith. Are you one of the nine, or are you the one? What is the gratitude indicator in your soul? Let's pray. Lord, we know as we read this story that there is more than just meets the eye in terms of we need to go home and be more grateful. Indeed, we do. But perhaps, Lord, we see that this scripture was preserved because it points us in the direction of the fact that a grateful spirit is a measure of a healthy faith life. Thank you for the observations we can make about this, Lord, and we pray that through the power and presence and work of your Holy Spirit, you will nurture within us this level of gratitude, that others may see, and we may see, and be blessed. We thank you, Lord, that in partnership with you, we have every reason for a thankful heart. Now, Lord, help us to sing with gratitude and appreciation to the testimony of Martin Rinkhart and the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn.
Things have done in whom his world reigns. Reminder that if you are in need of prayer in any way, Diane is here to pray with you, and we would count that an honor to serve you in that way. But now may you go and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.